is Yost versus Yost. Council may approach. Morning, Mr. Roberts.
Morning.
You may begin.
Thank you. May I ask a question, Your Honor? How do we do it with the cross appeal? Should I address both issues at the time?
Yeah, I think you'd have 10 minutes for it, so just go ahead and
okay.
And then we'll
I'll
turn
try
it.
To plow right
and,
through.
And you can still save time for rebuttal if you want to.
Right. Thank you. My name is Don Roberts. I represent Jeff Yost. This is a divorce case out of Odo County, Nebraska. Some background is necessary, I think, on this case. These parties were married for 29 years. This divorce was filed in 2016 and was marinating in the court till the appeal, the final decision in May of 2021, which brings us to today's appeal hearing. As background, there was a temporary order in this case. The residence where the parties were living was awarded temporary to Shelley. The office where they had a business called BY Excavating, which was temporarily awarded to my client. BY Excavating was a business that did excavating by its name, but after 2017, mostly did salvage of large equipment. Jeff would buy large pieces of equipment, cranes and things of that nature. Fix them up, fix the electricals, clean them up, and then resell them for a profit. At the temporary hearing, or temporary order, my client was ordered to pay alimony. He had to pay the house payment. Alimony was $3,500 a month, I believe. He had to pay the house payment where Ms. Shelley was living. He had to pay health insurance for both of the parties. There were some auto payments. There were some other miscellaneous payments that he was ordered to pay. When the case came to trial, it was January of 2019, and a decree was entered at that time, which switched the residences. My client was awarded the residence where the parties had been living. It was actually a family residence of his family for his whole life. Shelley was awarded the office building that was owned by an entity called MITCON that they started in order to own that building. And my client was ordered to pay alimony. That order, that decree did not become final because Shelley filed a motion for new trial. And the court in August of 2019 entered an order that said there would be a new trial. An amended decree was entered in October of 19. And that amended decree indicated that my client's ongoing salary would no longer be considered an expense. What had happened is he was getting paid as a salary from BY Excavating for doing all the work to fix up this equipment to get it sold. But the court determined at that time that as of October of 19, that his ongoing salary would no longer be considered an expense. He had, however, stopped taking his salary in August of 19, a couple months before this order was finally entered. But the order also indicated that there would be a new trial on some tax issues that were left outstanding. So I don't even believe, quite frankly, that that was a final order of the court. Nobody could have appealed that because there was still an outstanding issue. So after that, my client filed a complaint to modify the alimony. And he filed that about a week or two after the decree was entered. The court temporarily abated his alimony in December of 19, and he also had filed a contempt action against Shelley for damages and removal of property that she shouldn't have removed once he got back in the house and saw what had happened. In July of 2020, there was a motion filed by Shelley indicating that she objected to the accounting that my client was doing, had been required to do under the temporary order and under the decree in this case. She filed an objection. All of those issues, the contempts, the modification of alimony, the tax liability issue, and the final accounting issue were all heard at one trial that took place in September and November of 2020. In 2021, January of 21, the court entered an order that indicated, after some pluses and minuses, that Jeff had used some funds in that in the First National Bank account where the business had been operating out of, some funds improperly, and awarded Shelley an additional $38,000. She had originally been awarded $351,000 of assets in the original decree and a $308,000 equalization payment. But this additional payment then in January of 2021 required my client to pay approximately $38,000 more. He paid that into the court. One of the issues that I believe Shelley has raised is that he paid that voluntarily and then he can't appeal. However, I would agree in a normal situation, had he paid that in and then tried to appeal, I think he couldn't have done that. But Shelley filed a motion for new trial again on that order, and that motion for new trial then meant that the original or the order in January 2021 wasn't final. Finally, there was a order entered in May of 2021 from which this appeal emanates, and that order again found some additional money that Jeff had to pay to Shelley. I think it was about $43,000. We had asked the court to find her in contempt, Shelley in contempt, for a number of things. There were several items, and they're listed in my brief. The two biggest items that I wanted to talk about was a fabricated shed. It was an ammo shed. It wasn't a Connex box. Mr. Yost testified it wasn't a typical Connex box that you see on the side of in a lot of farm places. This was a fabricated ammo shed with garage doors. She took it at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had someone come and take it 6 o'clock in the morning about 2 weeks before she vacated the property. Her excuse, which probably to avoid the willfulness argument that we were alleging, that she took it willfully knowing that it wasn't hers. Her excuse was that she asked her attorney and she said it was household goods and lawn furniture. I don't know how she ever came to that determination, but that's what she said. This Connex box was in the appraisal for the real property to begin with. The property that was awarded to my client and was part of the appraised value of that property, but she removed it anyway.
Was this something that was like secured to a cement foundation, or is this something that's just laying on 2x4s on the ground or something like that?
It was on a cement foundation. It was not fastened down to the cement foundation. As you said, a box on there, that's what it was. But
I get that, yes. You know, you are disappointed you didn't get the contempt finding on that particular item, but you did get compensated. And so you take issue with the amount of the compensation.
That was one of the issues. We took issue with that, yes. The compensation was $9,000. My client, who was familiar with these things, testified the value was between $11,000 and $15,000. The court established $9,000. But I think the takeaway from this, if you look at what the judge did find her in contempt for, was writing some profane language on the stairwell.
Burnt in, right?
To the stairwell. And you take into consideration the fact that she left a note, again, a profane note, in the closet on the property. You take into account the fact that she tore up his diploma that had been in a glass frame. She took it out and tore it up. You take those into account, the things that she did on the rest of our contempt allegations, I believe, indicate that the court should have found her in contempt.
I'm going to ask you something real quick.
Yes, sir.
Just a procedural history here. The tax liability trial was prior to the October 19th decree, correct? That was in the October 19th decree, her findings with respect to that.
No, the court found in the October 19th decree that there would be a new trial on the issue of tax liability.
Wasn't that the August?
That was an August order.
August order was altered and amended in part and found a new trial.
Correct.
Then had the trial, and then the amended decree in October of 19 included the tax liability finding, correct? Or am I not right about that?
I didn't think it went that way. No, I'm sorry. Didn't think it went that way.
I'll ask the same question the other way. Second thing, question is, with regard to the nature, because then you file a modification, because you have a final decree at that point.
Yes.
Right? You file a modification after that. Then you have the second trial. Tax liability, I don't think, was part of that second trial. It was the accounting issue. It was the contempt issue. It was some of those other things, right?
Yes.
Okay. Question, with regard to the accounting portion of the trial, right? What's the nature of that proceeding? What's our standard of review in connection with that?
The nature of the proceeding?
Yes. What do you think that that is?
They were objecting to my client's use of funds that were in the BY First National Bank account.
Right. And I understand, you know, the court reserved in the final decree.
Yes.
Her right in the future to object to the accounting.
Correct.
She did object. I'm just asking, in your mind, what is the nature of that proceeding? What's our standard of review in connection with those findings?
I think the standard of review is de novo on the record.
You don't see that as a contempt type proceeding in and of itself?
He didn't bring it as a contempt proceeding. It was never raised before as a contempt matter. So no, I don't believe it was a contempt issue. Which would require clear and convincing evidence, but.
So you're out of time. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Thanks. Good morning, Mr. Martin.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I am Gregory Barton, appearing on behalf of the appellee and cross-appellant, Shelley A. Baxter. Judge Welch, I'd like to answer the question you just asked, Mr. Roberts. The standard as far as our objection to the accounting, I think what we're looking at is what do the four corners of that key provision of the amended decree provide for what can be deducted from the sales and what can be withdrawn from that account. And in that instance, that's a question of law, which this court can resolve without giving any deference to the trial court.
So you don't see it as an action to enforce the decree, which aligns more with contempt in that a person is not complying with the directive of the order.
The way it's structured, you know, in hindsight, is kind of weird the way it ended up because it started out with this F&B account ending in 9925 as it was going to be awarded to Jeff. Jeff said he wanted it. We said he could have it. And then after we get Judge Smith's findings and conclusions in her letter to counsel, then Jeff wants to have a meeting with the judge. So we all go to the district courtroom in Nebraska City. And at that time, Jeff convinces the judge to pull that F&B account back out of the marital estate division and use it as the receptacle for the proceeds from sales for the equipment and other assets that the parties had agreed should be sold and the court ordered to be sold. There were very specific limited categories of what could be treated as a deduction from that account as an expense of preparing the equipment and other assets for sale.
And nobody appealed from the October 19th decree, right? So whatever she ultimately found in there, that became a final order, right?
That's exactly correct, Judge. And that leads me to my main point with respect to the plaintiff's salary issue. Now, in our briefs, we identified four categories of expenditures from the FMB account at issue that the district court, we believe, erred in not addressing how that impacted Shelley, because now the FMB account is still a marital asset out there, even after the amended decree's entered.
It's kind of problematic, though, that I don't think that 99, whatever the number is, account is ever specifically awarded in the original decree, right? I mean, it's not even identified.
It's identified in the ordering paragraph on pages 24 and 25 of the amended decree. It's the account that the court is saying, this is going to be the receptacle for all the funds received from the sale of the assets, in addition to the funds that were already in there.
Yes, but it wasn't identified in the original decree to indicate who was even getting it originally and how much was in it. In other words, it wasn't put into the table to determine that initial equalization. And I know one of your arguments is how much was in there to begin with, in which the proceeds got added to, right?
Yeah.
But how can we tell on this record? Because it doesn't appear that account was ever specifically awarded.
That's where some of my difficulty comes from. But that's why I offered Judge Smith's what she had called her final property table, because in that final property table, she awarded that FMB account to Jeff, and she did so at our proposed value. And then it was after that that we have the meeting off the record in the District Court of Odo County, where Jeff convinces the judge, pull that FMB account back out of the property table and we'll leave it right here as this independent receptacle for all the money that's going to flow in from the equipment and other asset sales.
But the judge did then entertain objections to the accounting dating back to November of 2018 forward,
correct? That's right. And our proposal for valuing the account was as of November 1 of 2018. And our objections, our analysis of our objections to the final accounting are from November 1, 2018 forward. So it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of another, I guess, Judge, in that sense, because if we're looking at that entire block of time from November 1, 2018 through the time we finally get the final accounting in June or July of 2020, that covers the proper timeline from our perspective. And and that's the biggest problem we have with what happened, because when we got the final accounting from Jeff, there was a whole $7,772.89 left in that account. In November of 2018, there was $197,000 in that account, and the asset sales brought in another $150,000 to $175,000, and Jeff treated that account like it was his personal slush fund. He spent $12,653.15 on his personal rent, utilities, telephone, garbage service. So in effect, Shelley's paying half of his personal expenses 2 years post-decree. He's paying BY's accounting expenses of over $7,700, even though the amended decree says he only gets to deduct personal expenses.
And we understand all that, but the court then did give you the opportunity to go through from November 2018 to the finish line and say what's contested, what's not. The court made findings in that regard, and those that are being contested on appeal, are those now available for us to review to determine whether there was an abuse, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And as it relates to the starting date, then the only issue that really remains is that issue with regard to the final $7,000 in there and whether that should have been split as well. Right?
As far as the starting date, that's true. The biggest issue from our perspective, obviously, is Jeff spending $132,153.22 on his salary.
So let's talk about that for a second, though, because the court had its original decree in June of 2019. Then there was the motion to alter and amend. And in connection with that, the court dealt with that issue of salary and changed that provision in the original decree. And by October of 2019, she now disallowed any further salary. Well, fair statement?
With a twist, what the judge actually said is allowing Jeff to continue to pay himself a salary would constitute a dissipation of marital assets and would be inequitable. And that in the analysis of how that F&B account was going to be divided in the end after all the asset sales were completed, the district court said his salary shall not be treated as an expense of preparation of the equipment for sale.
However, during the time that he took the salary, right, and through August of 2019, he was not in violation of the court's order.
And I don't think that's really the correct issue, respectfully, Your Honor, because there was no final order upon which Jeff could rely in paying himself the salary out of the now marital F&B account.
But in connection with that same period of time, the court also made two determinations, talked about salary and talked about attorney's fees. As to the attorney's fees, she then made it an asset on the balance sheet, right?
Correct.
Why then wasn't that a final order at that point? Wasn't your issue with regard to salary a final order at that point? Shouldn't you have appealed that decision at that point if you thought that that also should have been made an asset based upon him having taken that salary during that period of time?
I don't think there was a final order until October 4th of 2019 when the amended decree was in it.
Right.
But you didn't appeal from that.
But you didn't appeal from that one.
Right.
But what did I have to appeal? I had prevailed on the salary issue in August.
But the court did not list the salary that was taken as an asset like she did with the attorney's fees. So why wasn't that appealed?
Because we didn't have those numbers until we got the final accounting done. And that's where we could sort out. The district court says it shall not be treated as an expense for the sale of the equipment. That became the law of the case when the amended decree was entered. So if anybody needed to appeal, it was Jeff at that point. I see I'm out of time, Your Honors. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
It's an interesting issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Case is submitted. We'll take it under advisement. Counsel is excused.